कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज थैंक यू ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 10 of Canto 7, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, text 4. Nanyatha te khila guru, ghateta karunatmanaha, yasta ashisha ashaste, nasabhritya savaivanik. नान्यताते खिल गुरो घटेत करुणात्मनः यस्त आशीष आशस्ते नसभृत्य स वैवनिक नान्यता ते खिल गुरो घटेत करुणात्मनः यस्त आशीष आशस्ते न स भृत्यः न स वैवनिक। Ladies, please. Nanyata te khila guru ghateta karunatmanaha yasta ashisha asaste nanyata te khila guru घटेत करुणात्मनः यस्त आशीष आसस्ते न स भृत्य न स वैवनिक। न नॉट अन्यथा अदरवाइज ते ऑफ यू अखिल गुरो ओ सुप्रीम इंस्ट्रक्टर ऑफ द एंटायर क्रिएशन घटेता सच अ थिंग कैन हैपन करुणा आत्मनः द सुप्रीम पर्सन हु इज एक्सट्रीमली काइंड टू हिज डिवोटीज यह एनी पर्सन हु ते फ्रॉम यू आशीषः मटेरियल बेनिफिट्स आशास्ते desires in exchange for serving you. Na, not saha, such a person, bhrityaha, a servitor, saha, such a person, vai, indeed, vanik, a merchant who wants to get material profit from his business. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Purport. It is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. Such a person is described here as a mercantile man. Bhagavad Gita speaks of artho jignyasur artharthi. The word artha refers to one who is physically distressed and artharthi refers to one in need of money. Such persons are forced to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for mitigation of their distress or to get some money by the benediction of the Lord. They have been described as sukriti, pious, because in their distress or need for money they have approached the Supreme Lord. Unless one is pious, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although a pious man may receive some material benefit, one who is concerned with material benefits cannot be a pure devotee. When a pure devotee receives material opulences, this is not because of his pious activity, but for the service of the Lord. When one engages in devotional service, one is automatically pious. Therefore, a pure devotee is anyabhilashita shunyam. He has no desire for material profit, nor does the Lord induce him to try to profit materially. When a devotee needs something, the Supreme Personality of Godhead supplies it. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Sometimes materialists go to a temple to offer flowers and fruit to the Lord because they have learned from Bhagavad Gita that if a devotee offers some flowers and fruits, the Lord accepts them. In Bhagavad Gita 9:26, the Lord says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahrutam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Thus a man with a mercantile mentality thinks that if he can get some material benefit, like a large amount of money, simply by offering a little fruit and flower, this is good business. Such persons are not accepted as pure devotees. Because their desires are not purified, they are still mercantile men, even though they go to temples to make a show of being devotees. Sarvopadi vinutmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. Only when one is fully freed from material desires can one be purified. And only in that purified state can one serve the Lord. Rushikena Hishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. This is the pure devotional platform. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I have some questions. Let's start. The translation for the verse begins with the word otherwise. Why? This is nanyatha. He is referring to the previous verse, all right. What is it about the previous verse that he is referring to? He says, otherwise, O Lord, you're so kind that you could not induce him into something unbeneficial for him. What's the otherwise mean? Acharya, if... Yeah, please look. It's open book. There's no cheating.
Because Prahlad Maharaj is saying...
You would be cheating if you didn't look.
That although these lusty desires are in the core of everyone's heart, you've sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. So then today he's saying, otherwise... you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him.
And the way he qualifies that my dear Krishna or Narsingadev, you've sent me to the material world, which is ample, the place is full, even innocently full of ways of drawing a person into sense gratification. A very innocent person also walk right into the labyrinth of sense gratification. But you sent me there And one may think, why? Why would Krishna do something like that? So he says, you have in your heart my welfare. And the word used for it is karuna atmanaha. That you have my best interest at heart. And what is that best interest? That you want me to be an instrument on your behalf for the benefit of others. So if I'm going to get drawn into sense gratification, what's the protection? For any one of us, what is the protection against sense gratification? Is it our determination? Brahmakarta, you're shaking your head. No. What is it? Causeless mercy of Krishna. How does that causeless mercy of Krishna manifest? No. No. Well, all that too. But there's a particular reference in this verse that he's talking to. When we serve Guru, okay, but causeless mercy of Krishna comes in what way? Protection. How does protection come? What is it that protects us? Opulences. This first line, last word. Akhilo Guru. Right? The mercy of Krishna comes into our life by the spiritual master, or through the spiritual master. That's what we sing every morning, right? Tranaya Karunya Ghana Ghanatvam. Because Krishna is the source of all mercy, that mercy comes into our life through the spiritual master. In what form? Instructions. Thank you. And therefore, he uses very nice Akhila Guru. Every verse, the way he refers to Narsingadev has meaning in it. Previously, he used the word Achyuta, that you will never fail your devotee. Yesterday, he says Bhavan, your good self. And today he says, Akhila Guru. And the Prabhupada says, O Supreme Instructor of the entire universe. So he protects his devotees by instruction. Now, of course, we also need to take the instruction, otherwise there's no protection. Because the Guru can speak for hours and hours, volumes and volumes, megabytes and gigabytes worth of sound recording. Earlier we used to say stacks of books, now we have to say gigabytes worth of instructions. But nothing will come to our help if we don't take it. So our determination plays a role. But the spiritual master makes a person determined by the power of his instruction. It's there. How does that happen? By thoroughly instructing and giving examples of various kinds on the futility of sense gratification. So, the first class intelligent disciple hears it and learns it. The second class disciple hears it but sees someone suffering and learns it. The third one is hears it, sees it, experiences it, and then says, oh yeah, there is danger. And then there is the other class that he has to keep trying and instructing again and again. But here is saying, nanyatha te akhila guru, that you are protecting me in this world by your instruction. Ghateta karunat manaha. For Ghateta will happen. So he says, no, it will never happen that you will send me to this material world and abandon me. It will never happen. Because you're very, very merciful. So another way of understanding Karuna Atmana is that the spiritual master never abandons. Now there are some situations where the Guru has said, go away. For example, when Sri Madhavendra Puri was leaving his body, his disciple Ramchandra Puri began to instruct the Guru. And Madhavendra Puri told him, go out of here, go away from here. If I see your face, I'll suffer in hell. Go away. So there are rare cases. Once Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he rejected one of his disciples, I think by the name Haridas, because he disobeyed the instruction again and again. The instruction was, do not eat Haritaki, beetle. But he kept eating. Then the story goes that he was rejected by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And later that person was attacked by someone and killed. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami saw his head floating in the river. And somehow he gave mercy to the soul that way, by giving mercy to that head. The details I forget right now. But this is in Prema Vilas by Narottam Das Thakur. So there are rare cases that a spiritual master will reject. But otherwise, the disciple may reject the spiritual master, but the spiritual master will never, never reject. And Krishna also will never reject anyone, because if he rejects, finished. There is no existence. Yeah? So it's not because there is no existence, Krishna does not abandon. Krishna by nature is such that he never abandons anyone. Never. That is his love, his karunatmana. It is just his nature. We can't intellectualize why Krishna is like that. He is like that. Very loving. Very merciful. The other day we were talking, infinite potencies. And each potency is infinite in its capacity. So Krishna is infinitely merciful. What does that mean? We have no idea. We have no idea what infinite mercifulness or mercy looks like. We can say, looking at our case, my gosh, that I was somehow brought into the fold of devotional service, that is Krishna's infinite mercy, because I'm really bad case. And constantly extending himself. So he says, ghateta karunatmana. So you're so kind, you give me instructions, you protect me, you take care of me. And the next two lines is about the devotee. Yes, the ashisha asaste. But if a devotee, asaste is he desires, ashisha, material benefits, in exchange for service, he said, nasa bhritya. Such a person is not a servant. Savai vanik. Yesterday we've been reading, Prabhupada went to Matilal school, Seal School, which is a school for the vanik children, all the merchants. So vanik means the merchant. What does the merchant only think about? Profit. What is my benefit? If I'm giving a product at discount, it is not because I like you, it's because I want some benefit. I want some profit. I calculate what's my bottom line. How do I make profit in this? What it's the we sometimes we call it the WIIFM, what's in it for me program. Okay, I'll do something. I go to the temple, I'll put some money, I'll offer some seva. What's in it for me? Well, you'll get something back in return. You'll get spiritual benefit. But love of God, it I don't want. Show me the love this way. If you love me, show me the cash. Then I'll know you love me. If you just say, oh, I love you, I'll give you unlimited happiness in the heart. I'll take care of that myself, just give me the money. They vanik. Now at a gross level, vanik mentality is, here Prabhupada talks about artha. Artha. Artharthi means I'm going to the temple, I'm engaging in some service to Krishna for return of money or facilities in the material world. On a subtler level, one engages as a vanik, not because of money, but because of some sense of appreciation, acknowledgement, etc. And that's the That's an innate need that says, what about me? Are you thinking about me? With Krishna, what Prahlad Maharaj is coming to is, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter whether you acknowledge or you don't acknowledge, whether you look at me or you don't look at me. It's irrelevant to me. All I care about is that I serve you. And I'm not looking for any benefit either on the gross level or even on the subtle level. Same spirit in Shikshashtaka 8, right? You may embrace me or you may reject me and make me broken-hearted. But to me, you're always my worshipable Lord. That's the 8th verse of Shiksha Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj is speaking on that platform, inspiring everyone to come to that platform. And Prabhupada's in the same mood in this purport. He makes a distinction between pious people and devotees. Of course, he's not even talking about impious people. Impious people don't come to Krishna. Pious people come. But they come with certain needs. Artha, I'm in some physical or mental distress. I need some solution for this. So I'm coming to Krishna for me. Artharthi, I want some financial help because I'm struggling. So I come to Krishna for my benefit, my material benefit actually. Jigyasu, I'm curious. I want Krishna to fulfill my curiosity, either through some knowledge or realization. And Jnani, he has the right understanding and he comes to Krishna for wanting to know, how can I become a devotee? So Krishna says, these four are very pious, at least they come to me. Just by that definition, isn't Krishna very merciful that he includes all these people into the category of pious? Even if we see this, that we're doing this only for profit, still, that's not necessarily pious, but Krishna says, I consider it very pious. The next is, when a pure devotee receives material opulences. Does a pure devotee receive? Yeah, so many examples. Prahlad Maharaj is going to become the king very soon. Dhruva Maharaj became king. Yudhishthir Maharaj was king. Parikshit Maharaj was king. Ambarish Maharaj was a king. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they were very, very Ramananda Raya, extremely rich. Rupa and Sanatan, no need to even mention how rich they were. Raghunath Das Goswami, 2 million gold coins a year was his annual income. Wow, that's just fascinating. And it's like, you know, things were not so inflated in price that, you know, you have $2 million as income, but you also spend, you know, 40% of your income in what you need, to place to live and something to eat, or you fill gas. It's crazy. They were at a time when inflation was very, very low. Practically no economic inflation. Everything was bartered, exchanged. He used to make 2 million gold coins. Not one time, every year. And he served the Nawab Hussain Shah for so many years. Rupa and Sanatan. Narottam Das Thakur came from a family of royalty. Very, very rich. Prabhupada. Krishna took everything away from him to such a degree that Prabhupada didn't have anything. Like we say, right? Prabhupada came with... What did Sally Agarwal say the other night? Imagine a man of that age came with the clothes on his back and a bag of cereal. That was her statement. And what did Krishna give Prabhupada in terms of opulence? Unbelievable. There are lectures where Prabhupada says, each day we are earning some 2 million rupees from book distribution and other places and other ways. 2 million rupees a day. Such opulence. But, he says, it is not because of his pious activity but for the service of the Lord. That's the operating word, for the service of the Lord. So Krishna gives facility for one who's using the facility in Krishna's service. And as soon as the person takes a little for himself or herself, Krishna withdraws that facility. Just as, you know, we have the opulence in one way to understand. We have the opulence in America to freely drive anywhere. No one stops us. We can drive at high speeds. We can freely practice religion. But the moment those facilities are misused, the government will have come down upon us and take away or curb those facilities. So Krishna also does that. And one might say, you're unlimitedly merciful, why are you now curbing those facilities? And Krishna's answer is, because I'm merciful, if I don't curb it, you will misuse it further and degrade like anything. So we see in the life of, the other day was the example of, you gave the example of Vasudeva Datta. Whatever came, went. Came from here, went away there. There's a story of Jagannath Das Babaji. So in general, they don't like material opulence. But when it comes, they use it for Krishna's service. So Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, he was very aged. So he used to be carried in a basket by his disciple Bihari Lal. One day, they were walking, or Bihari Lal was walking with Jagannath Das Babaji in the basket over his head. Some person came this way. Oh, this is a very great saintly person. Offered his obeisances and respects and put a coin in Jagannath Das Babaji's basket. And they went a little further, and Jagannath Das Babaji had almost turned blind at that time. So he told Bihari Lal, something is not right. Everything seems very heavy. What's the problem? Seems very heavy. Everything is sluggish. Is there any money? He said, oh, someone put a coin. He said, get rid of it immediately. It was given away. The same Jagannath Das Babaji, once someone gave a donation of 200 rupees, which is a lot of money. So Jagannath Das Babaji said to his servant Bihari Lal, get fresh rasgullas. You know what he did with the rasgullas? He fed all the dogs in Navadvip. He said, the dogs are the right recipients. Feed the dogs rasgullas. So he never kept any wealth. Prabhupada also teaches, if you read his letters, he would say, when wealth comes, everything should be used in Krishna's service. He said you should go to rich people and say, we need such and such amount of money for a project. When they give you the money, you spend it, you go back to them and you say, I need some more money. And if they say, I just thought we gave it to you, you say, we spend everything, we want more. This is not the idea of hoarding it. Spending is for Krishna's service, we should spend. Of course, Prabhupada is very careful how to spend money. It's not like he was reckless. One of the stories about Prabhupada spending money that stays with me very strongly is during the construction of the Mayapur and Vrindavan temples. They were happening parallelly. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and it's described by one of the devotees that two persons came together to ask Srila Prabhupada for money towards the construction. So one of them was sannyasi, and he asked Prabhupada 500,000 rupees. When someone asks that big amount of money, someone will say, what do you need it for? How are you going to spend it? Etc. Prabhupada turned to his secretary and said, write him a check for 500,000 rupees. The other person also asked some big amount. He said, write him a check. The check was written. One of the sannyasis took the check. He walked out, and Prabhupada told his servant, call him back. So he called him back. He said, where are you going? Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to deposit this check at the bank. And the bank was about a mile away. So Prabhupada asked him, how are you going to go there? Oh, I'm going to take a rickshaw, a cycle rickshaw, 5 rupees or something to go there. Prabhupada said, don't waste money, walk there. So that person was completely blown away. When I said I want 500,000 rupees, Prabhupada didn't bat an eyelid. When I was going to spend 5 rupees or less, now it is 5, whatever, to even go by rickshaw, Prabhupada said, don't waste money. It's Krishna's money. So careful. So here's Prabhupada writing. Because, not because of his pious activity, but for the service of the Lord. And one who uses facilities like that, then Krishna fills that person with abundance. Never a shortage. That's the verse Prabhupada quotes, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. This yoga kshema, I gave a whole class in Gita Nagari this year or last year, such a long time, I forget when, but anyway. Yoga kshema. Yoga means I bring, Krishna says, I bring what you lack. Actually, he says, vahami, I carry what you lack. See, in Hindi or in Sanskrit, vahana means vehicle. A vehicle carries a person. So when Krishna says vahami, he means I carry. He didn't say dadati, I give. He says I carry for the devotee. So yoga, I carry for the devotee what they lack. And kshema is whatever they have, I protect it. And that's true on all levels. On the material level, gross material level, on the subtle material level, and of course on the spiritual level. Most importantly, Krishna brings facilities for the development of Krishna consciousness and protects our Krishna consciousness always. And he's personally doing it, carrying it. So for a devotee, the confidence that I don't have to worry about myself, Krishna will take care. One, because Krishna has said he will do it. And second, here's how he does it. That whatever facility he gives, when it is used in his service, more and more in abundance will come. But when it is misused, then it is curbed. Because by misusing it, one falls into the trap of thinking or exploiting the facility. So as devotees, it's very important for us to become conscious of what are the facilities that Krishna has provided me. And sometimes take note of all the range of facilities Krishna has given. Association, place to stay, food to eat, clothing, whatever, you know, health, etc., etc. These are all facilities given by Krishna. And are we using it properly? Or how can we improve in how we use it for Krishna's service? Then it becomes abundant. When we say abundant, we shouldn't think that, you know, in my bank I have $2,000, and if I use it in Krishna's service, I heard I'll get abundance of it, so let me do it, and I'm waiting for Krishna to make it abundant. If that's the case, then Prahlad Maharaj says, Savaivanik is a merchant. Abundance means there will never be a shortage. For a prince, $10,000 is abundance. For a beggar, $5 is abundance. So Krishna knows how to take care of his devotees. But whatever he does, there will never be a shortage. There will never be a time or a situation when they are lacking food, lacking some place. It will never happen. There is no devotee of Krishna ever in the history that became abandoned like that. Somehow or the other, Krishna takes care. Because their conviction is, when Krishna can feed all the fish, all the elephants, all the trees, the birds, the insects, the ants, whoever, Krishna is feeding them, I will also be taken care of. That conviction. So because I'm being taken care of by Krishna, all I need to do is develop my service attitude for him. Then one is a bhritya, servant. The word bhritya means servant, and the opposite is called bharta. Bharta means one who carries or one who maintains. So when he says savai bhritya, then I'm happy to be maintained by Krishna. I don't have to separately think about my maintenance. Versus a vanik, a merchant thinks about, hey, what's the profit for me? So any comments, questions, thoughts, objections?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your class. I was just, maybe you could comment on some of the points. I was just thinking one point you made the other day. you were mentioning that for most of us, if somebody wants in a material world, wants to get a girl, they need a good pickup line. You remember that?
You need a good pickup
line. So I was just thinking of the pastime of Haridas Thakur, because his main pickup line was Hare Krishna. So if we ask him, what's your pickup line? Hare Krishna. And that's usually what inspires us about most spiritualists. Okay, they get money, women, and fame just by, chanting Hare Krishna. But my question is basically in this regard is that in 270 of the Gita, it basically says that there's rivers of desires pouring into one's consciousness like an ocean. But Haridas Thakur's spirituality was as deep as the ocean that he wasn't overwhelmed. And sometimes my question is that basically, how does one, because I remember one lecture that Radhanath Maharaj, he made the point that if our spirituality is like shallow as a puddle, then anything can overwhelm us or overflood us. So my question is that it appears that there's many pastimes where it is not that people necessarily fall down from being lusty, but from like disrespect or criticizing, just like Sobari Muni. He was in the ocean, and it appeared that, he wasn't surrounded by women. How can he not control his senses? But Krishna inspired that lust within his heart, not because of he was lusty, but because he, criticized Garuda. So my question is basically, how does one distinguish, how do we basically have the concept, our conception is that basically if I'm lusty, I'll fall down. But it's usually that, people like Bilva Mango Thakur or many others, not that, we've done so many things in a previous life, but what really causes our infamy is, Vaishnava Parad. So how does one distinguish these points, and which points are more important to keep in mind all the time when we say, okay, let me control my senses or let me not commit Vaishnava Parad, because it seems like they're actually both connected to each other. So,
first of all, Maya is very skilled. She knows every individual's weakness. For some, it may be a critical mentality. For some, it may be lust. For some, it may be insecurity. For some, it may be pride, whatever it is. She knows where it hurts, and she hits hard. There's no such sense of mercy. For each one of us, there's a weak, one or more weak points. And one should be, the other day Acharyanishtha used the word, one should be guarded about it. Being a devotee means being conscious of, what is my weakness? Before Krishna or Maya shows it to me, if I have some sense of understanding what that is, great. Otherwise, when I chant Hare Krishna, Krishna will show it to me. And then I do something about it. I fix it. So each person has some weakness. And we will notice that all of one's problems usually are focused around that weakness only. It may be more than one, but it is focused around a particular weakness. And the counter for it is, first, to be aware, and second, to be guarded about it. Because it's described that when one is guarded, that itself is the protection. And then the second is to transcend it. And one transcends it by carefully cultivating one's bhakti kripa, which is not criticizing or blaspheming, serving humbly, etc., etc. Or chanting Hare Krishna nicely every day, or at least attempting to chant nicely every day, etc. So everyone has that little, whatever, different variety of weakness, and she hits hard, very, very hard. And it's mostly below the belt, usually, not aware of it, or not. And it's therefore Prabhupada described that negligence is like the first fault, or the first level of mistake we make. As soon as we become negligent, everything else follows with it. Even in chanting Hare Krishna, negligence, inattention, and what's the third one? Apathy. Whatever, who cares? That's the third one. These three, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, are the things that actually make a devotee inattentive in one's chanting. And so we work on those. To be attentive, one should not be, or we should not be, negligent in all the aspects of our Krishna consciousness. Or lazy. Lazy, negligent, and apathetic.
You briefly asked one follow-up point that you mentioned that the Lord is, at the beginning of your class, the Lord is all-merciful. And sometimes when we think of fall down, we think of something embarrassing. But can fall down also mean just being bored in Krishna consciousness? Because Lord Chaitanya says our spiritual life should be Anandam Buddhi Vardhana. It should be deep as the ocean also, a deep, you know, following this ocean, happiness.
Bored is not a fall down. Bored is just... Well, what you do with the boredom, that will be the fall down. Not boredom. Boredom means one is not fully aware of one's identity. That's where the boredom is. Because anything material has the characteristic of boredom. Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada deals with it in the preface of the Nectar of Devotion. He calls happiness in the material world is chapala sukha. It's happiness, and that happiness transforms into boredom. And as soon as it becomes boredom, the person will shift activity and find something else that's enjoyable. And after some time, it becomes boring. Then they will shift to something else. So they're busy moving from one activity to another activity, extracting happiness and then rejecting it. Bhogatyaga, bhogatyaga. Because it is boring. Versus devotional life. So if it is boring, then one is approaching it in a material way. Subhal Prabhu.
I was just thinking of this mentality, mercantile mentality.
Yeah.
And the fact that many of us, we have, we're dealing with attachments and desires, sort of personal desires, and at the same time, you know, we're trying to engage in devotional service and sincerely try to serve Guru and Krishna. But those things are there, and also we play in a situation in which Guru and Krishna makes arrangements to accommodate those, or take into consideration those personal things that, you know, not necessarily have to do much with devotion to Krishna, but is, you know, the things that you're holding, and they're sort of accommodating. So there's always that sort of tension there, internal tension or awareness that you know, I'm there's conditions for my service in one sense. I have to be, these have to be in place for me in order to be peacefully, you know, marching ahead. So how much of that is this mercantile, or in one sense, Prahlad Maharaj is condemning this mercantile mentality, and you know, it's not the mentality of a devotee. So you know, how do you get this tension?
So in the Shikshashtaka, because we talked about the eighth verse of Shikshashtaka. So before we reach the eighth verse, we also go through second verse, where he says, the same Shikshashtaka prayer, where he says, I have absolutely no attraction to you. That's just the hard, cold fact. Ihajani na anuragaha. I have absolutely no attraction, no taste for chanting your holy name. No taste. What? It's an honest admission. So a devotee's honest admission is, my dear Krishna, I am steeped deep in mercantile mentality. I am steeped deep in sense gratification, or at least the tendency is there, although externally some things may have changed. Or for me to do my service, these are the conditions that are necessary, because I am in this world and this world needs these kinds of things. What to do? So an honest admission is nice. Then Krishna gives the whole process or path through which to come to, it doesn't matter to me, my dear Krishna, no, forget about all that. So it's progression. So Prahlad Maharaj is speaking from his platform that I don't want to be a merchant with you, that you give me something, or I give you something because I want something in return from you. Only then I will do something for you. You give for me. I don't want this. Now, before we get there, then there is the honest admission. What to do, Krishna? My faith is at this point, that from here I have to learn to see how you're maintaining me. I have to learn to see how these circumstances are to be changed so I can serve you. I'm still very young and I want these things. Many times the problem is not in the admission of it. The problem is in the not admitting it. We fall into the trap of, I can say I can't say we, but I'm speaking in general, we as practicing devotees in that sense, not we as this group. That we overestimate our devotional capacities. And we want to operate from, I want to be a pure devotee and I want to operate from there. And very soon Krishna shows, you're not there, you're here. And the difficulty is to admit it. Yeah, that's true. That is true. I'm here. So this is the realm of suffering, where I think I'm here, but Krishna is showing me I'm here. And I'm having difficulty admitting it or accepting it. But when I accept it, then it's a little joyful. Oh, okay. And now let me see how I can get there. What is it that I can do incrementally to get to that place of, I'm not a merchant. One of the things I've been, I guess, dealing with, I'll be honest here, it's been recorded. When the service was opened for me to consider, Himangi and I jumped head in, head first, without thinking anything. Being a servant of all the devotees here. He said, oh yeah, service to all the devotees. Fantastic. Dive, head in. Job, forget it. This, forget it, doesn't matter. No, Krishna will take care. Krishna took care wonderfully, no doubt. And I'm in a stage of life where, okay, I need to put a few things in place. Because for there are other responsibilities. So Krishna is showing me that before you, you know, dive head in, are you considering other things? The need was not dive in head first. That was not the need, but that's how you understood it and you jumped. Great, thank you, but that was not what I was looking for, I think. This is my understanding of it. That's great. But then what about the responsibilities I've given you? So, oh, okay, Krishna, thank you. I understand. And that's not because I've discussed with other devotees who've been in similar situations, and their realization or understanding is, yeah, Krishna wants us to first take care of certain responsibilities that are there properly, so that you're ready for, you know, diving in head first. For example, swimming. I don't know swimming. I can swim as long as my feet can touch the ground, then I have no problem. Once I go beyond 6 feet, I don't know what I'm doing there. But just because I know Krishna says jump, some people can. That's fantastic. Krishna says jump, they will jump. But I cannot say, this is, you know, oh, they jump, I should also jump, when I don't know how to swim. So the point was this, in serving Krishna, one's intelligence doesn't have to go to sleep. The need at that time was such that I had to jump in head first. And I'm glad I did it. I don't think it's the same need now. It's changed. It's morphed into something different. This is my understanding. I could be totally wrong. But anything else from the lady side? Krishna Acharya Mataji.
Sure.
We want your voice broadcast.
So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that you know, he's fine if Krishna is you know, ignoring him or not ignoring him. And I was wondering, I mean, there's a detachment that Prahlad Maharaj has, but in terms of, you know, putting that emphasis on being happy just with serving. So indeed, the verse was looking at mercantile mentality, but it doesn't seem like mercantile mentality to actually be when one is serving, wanting Krishna to glance upon one. So I'm just wondering where that component is and why there should be that mood of detachment. Because it seems natural that in a relationship one would be looking for the person to glance at one and Krishna to glance at one. So I'm wondering why the detachment, particularly with that.
So first of all, Krishna never says, all you have to do is serve me from morning till night, and I'm not going to look at you, I won't glance at you, I'm going to ignore you completely. He's not that type. In fact, he's karunatmana, he wants to reciprocate all the time. But the reason for engaging in service is not for that acknowledgement. Because what Prahlad Maharaj and the great devotees are saying is that a person, the satisfaction is in the service. It's not in the outcome or how Krishna reciprocates. That's not important. That's not important. How Krishna reciprocates is not important. Of course, Krishna reciprocates, no doubt. But that's not important for the devotee. What's important is, Krishna loves me, and I know that because he has given me some service to do. that's enough for me. And even if he doesn't look, that's fine. If he only glances, that's fine. If he doesn't glance, that's fine. I can become broken-hearted, and that's fine. Aslisseva padaratam pinashtumam. Adarshanan means you neglect me, you don't even look back. And there are many such examples where one of the devotees was explaining, if you notice the prayers of Queen Kunti in the 8th chapter of the first canto, she offers these fantastic prayers. And what does Krishna do in reciprocation? He gives her half a smile and walks away. That's it. He doesn't say, nice prayers, auntie, never really nice, we should write it down, should convey to everyone. No response. Just half a smile and walks away. Or when he returns to Dwaraka from Hastinapur, and he's been spending a lot of time in Hastinapur with the Pandavas. So when he comes back to Dwaraka, it's described how different people came to the palace to receive Krishna. So all the Brahmins were reciting the mantras. His attention was on Vasudeva and Devaki and all his queens and all those persons. And for those who were older than him, he offered his obeisances. For those who were equal, he shook hands. And those who were in a lower position, he accepted their obeisances. For the Brahmins, you know, he acknowledged their mantras. And it describes that for the prostitutes in Dwaraka, all he did was glance at them and that was it, and they were fully satisfied. They were not looking for anything more than that. In fact, if he didn't even do that, that's fine for them. So, I mean, it's great. It's a little far-fetched, but the point is adarshanan, even if Krishna does not. Not that Krishna will not. He will. He likes to exchange with his devotees, but the devotees are very satisfied with the fact that they have some service for him. That's their happiness. That statement by Jiva Goswami about happiness. I'm forgetting something. Happiness is in Krishna's happiness. I'm sorry, the words are skipping me. When I remember, I'll say. Krishna says, from me comes remembrance and forgetfulness. And right now is definitely making me forget. Okay. Anything else? Final comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Phrase.